on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. The Reuben is back for a limited time at Subway. Savory corned beef, crunchy sauerkraut, melty Swiss, creamy Thousand Island dressing, toasted rye. Subway. So much Reuben.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there and for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Hey, so quite a while back, we had Stacy Pearsall.
Yep.
Combat photographer Stacy Pearsall on the show. And wouldn't you know, guess who she's associated with?
Well, there's only one name that everybody's associated with anymore.
That's right. So Home Depot Foundation. I mean, these guys got their hands in everything that's good for veterans. And we're going to talk about another part of that, the Woodruff Arts Center. Alvin Townley is on with us. Alvin, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, this is great. And, you know, right here in the holiday season, Home Depot Foundation is amazing to us because, seriously, it seems like every week on a program, whether or not we plan it, Home Depot Foundation, you know, makes its way onto the program because they do so much for veterans.
Alvin likes talking on the radio. That's why.
They do a lot for veterans. They actually named my position at the Woodruff Arts Center, which lets us bring a little recognition to them for all they do at veterans at the nation's third largest arts center, which I think is completely surprising to people.
They're in Atlanta, huh?
Yeah, that's right. The Woodruff Arts Center is the third largest arts center in the United States and one largest in the world.
Wow.
We're located in Atlanta, Georgia, and inside the Arts Center is the Grammy-winning Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, the Tony-winning Alliance Theater, and the magnificent Time Museum of Art.
So when you get behind a project, you guys go full board, don't you?
We do. And, you know, we had the opportunity to have the Home Depot come in, and they've been a supporter of ours for quite a while. We, in 2012, we had the idea, hey, what can we do for veterans? You know, and I know that we're an arts center, but certainly there has to be some way that we can serve veterans. And we realized that a lot of veterans don't have access to the arts.
Yep.
So the Home Depot Foundation stepped up and said, all right, if a veteran and their family wants to come to see the symphony or see the theater or experience the High Museum of Art, they can do it at no cost.
Wow.
And the Home Depot Foundation covers those expenses. They even get to park free.
Oh, man.
You know, wow. How much easier can we make it? And the great thing is, you know, so many veterans go go overseas and they've deployed. And you, when you're over there, when you are deployed, you know, you think, you know, you have the world that you're living in combat or in a foreign country. And then when you're over there, you kind of retreat into yourself sometimes. You go back to the world of art, the world of music, you know, the world of words, the things that are uniquely at home. And so we give them a chance to appreciate the arts so they can carry it with them. And when they come home, they can experience the arts and be inspired and, in many cases, heal.
Yeah.
Hey, Alvin, you're no stranger to veterans' issues or the military yourself, are you?
I am not, although I got to confess, instead of actually joining, I just have been writing about them. So I get to fly out to aircraft carriers and hang out for a week or two and then fly off. Which my friends in the military give me a hard time for. But we wrote a book a couple years ago called Fly Navy, and that took me around the world.
Wow.
I was on five different aircraft carriers, so landed in the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean and the Arabian Sea. And I was there with the USS Eisenhower as they were sending strikes into Afghanistan and Iraq out of the Arabian Sea and Persian Gulf, and it was a Coronado, and I've been with the Old Guard at Arlington National Cemetery, and I've really gotten a really unique understanding of the military and what kind of institution it is. And I think what surprised me most was what I learned when I started dabbling in naval aviation. And I remember being on the USS Harry S. Truman in the Atlantic Ocean and spending time with an aircraft squadron, a fighter squadron, and I discovered that, you know, far from being just an instrument of foreign policy, the military is really a citizenship factory. You know, there are a lot of people that come into the military that may not have a significant exposure to citizenship or responsibility and things like that. And, you know, by the time you're 20 years old, you can be a plane captain.
Yeah, yeah.
You're 20 years old, and you're responsible for a $65 million F/A-18 Super Hornet.
And
you know, and the development that goes on and the way these young people progress and the way a squadron or a division or a platoon molds people and brings them along and teaches them really important values that they can then bring out of the military into the country is just extraordinary. And it's a tremendously valuable institution, not just because it keeps us safe from foreign enemies, but because it makes us stronger as a nation.
And apparently, if you have an artistic bent and you're a Navy flyer, you can practice.
Yeah, my friend Frank Weiser is Blue Angel number 5. And so when we were with him in Rome, Georgia, a couple weeks ago for one of their shows. And, you know, I would be hard-pressed to say that what the Blue Angels do up in the sky is not art.
Oh, it absolutely is
pretty
art.
Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. We're talking to Alvin here from the Home Depot Foundation, Alvin Townley with the Woodruff Arts Center. I'm trying to. You've got a long title that you do here, Alvin.
The Home Depot is so generous to us that we let them name my position.
I mean, the Director of Corporate Philanthropy and Veterans Programs at the Woodruff Arts Center.
Take your breath.
Really?
Right. Well, I wear a lot of hats, and you know, yeah. One of the I do spend a lot of time with corporate fundraising, and I still travel around and talk about Fly Navy and Defiant, which is the book I released about.
What a cool job that was, by the way.
Defiant?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What a great experience, huh?
Defiant was about the 11 leading POWs in Vietnam and their wives back home. And that was my first New York Times reviewed book. And
I think I read that.
I think you did.
You can get it anywhere. Books are available, and it's a tremendous book because of the absolutely extraordinary nature of the story of these 11 guys who led the resistance inside the Hanoi Hilton.
Yeah.
And these 11, senior officers were so bad, were so subversive, so disruptive, so obnoxious to the North Vietnamese there in Hanoi, they actually got thrown out of the Hanoi Hilton. So imagine how bad you have to be to get kicked out of a POW camp.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I got thrown out of Sloppy Joe's.
I was going to say that sounds, sounds like you, Jerry.
I know you have been right there with these guys.
Hey, but, you know, you guys are so lucky, and the veterans down that way are so lucky to have the opportunity to see Stacy's stuff because she is an incredible, incredible
We had her on the program, a couple of years ago.
Well, Randy, we had her on when she was first getting started.
Yep, that's right.
It's been a while.
I guess it has been a while.
You know, when I discovered her, I just found out about her this summer, and when I realized what she was doing and what we do, you know, we expose people to world-class art. And I said, hey, you know, Stacy, we got to get you to come to the Woodruff Arts Center in Atlanta, Georgia. And we teamed up with the Home Depot and then Delta Airlines. Also got involved, so they've both been very helpful in bringing her here, and she'll arrive on December the 7th for a big program, and then Friday and Saturday, December 8th and 9th, she'll be at the Woodruff Arts Center photographing local veterans. And
wow.
It's just going to be an extraordinary couple of days.
That's cool.
We're thrilled to have her kind of work, and you know, we have lots of different types of photographers, lots of different types of artists represented at the Woodruff Arts Center.
Wow. There is no one that
is more special and has better training than Stacy Pearsall, and certainly no one that's more deserving to have their artwork shown at the nation's third largest art center.
So what do you like best about her exhibition? What is it about her work that you like the best?
Right now we have 44 pieces on display, and then we have a digital wall, too, that scrolls through some of her best work. But when you go and you stand in front of a portrait, you know, these are oftentimes, you know, pretty close-up portraits. And you stand up, you get close, and you look in the subject's eyes, you just see so much. And I also think there's a secret between Stacy Pearsall and her subject, because they all have these little glints of light in their eyes, these little smirks, these little smiles. And there's some unique secret that Stacy and them share. And it's, you know, those of us that are observers don't quite know what it is, but she has such a unique ability to make veterans feel comfortable and then capture these extraordinary expressions that are really very telling when she does her photography. And, you know, so each individual portrait is just gorgeous and tells its own story.
Yeah, she's such a nice person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You have the chance to talk to her. She's been, she was at the VFW convention couple of times,
right?
If I recall. And I remember veterans lining up to have the opportunity, not necessarily get their photograph taken, but to talk to her.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Alvin Townley from the Woodruff Arts Center in Atlanta is our guest right here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry and this Woodruff Arts Center. This is a big deal. Alvin Townley and the Home Depot Foundation, they know all of it. They're all over it. Alvin is our guest right here on the National Defense.
Interesting journey. She was, I think it started in 2008, and she'd been wounded in Iraq. For those listeners that have forgotten, she was wounded in Iraq and was healing back home. She got hit with an IED, was healing back home, and didn't really know where to go, and started having these conversations with other veterans, and she began using her camera lens to start these conversations and to connect with these folks and to share something special. And it really was kind of her journey of healing. And I think she's photographed over 6,000 veterans around the country now.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's amazing how she started, too. Do you know anything about her early photography days?
I don't.
Yeah, she did family portraits at JCPenney.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Really?
Way to go. Way to remember.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. I mean, that's incredible. Alvin, let me ask you this. So you guys are going to have this exhibit. You're going to have Stacy there. I mean, there's not a better time of the year to have this happen, is it? I mean, this is just a perfect kind of...
Well, it is a perfect time of the year. We opened on Veterans Day. And then, so the exhibition is up and running at the Woodruff Arts Center there in Atlanta, Georgia, right in what we call Midtown at 15th Street and Peachtree. And, you know, it's a great time of year because so many people are coming to the Arts Center for the holidays to see shows and performances and exhibitions. And when they come, they're going to see the Veterans Portrait Project. And it's just a great time to highlight, you know, Stacy's work and our Arts Center's dedication to veterans and the dedication of the Home Depot Foundation and Delta Airlines as well.
And how long of a run is her exhibition?
It's going to run through January the 16th. So it'll run through Martin Luther King Jr. weekend.
Yeah, I mean, how big is the facility there, the Woodruff Arts Center?
We are, I don't know how many acres we are. We occupy the entire block between 15th and 16th Street.
Oh, man.
In Atlanta. And so it's a big center. You know, we have three separate buildings. We have a public transportation train stop called Art Center Station, so it's, you know, highly accessible for everybody. And it's really kind of an anchor point of Atlanta's Midtown neighborhood, and was founded back when Midtown was not a nice area. And really, it has been one of the anchors that has made that now one of the best places to live and do business in the city.
Oh, man. Yeah, my nephew just moved to Atlanta to work for the Cartoon Network. And I actually used to work in Atlanta at a radio station.
Now, that's a fun job. My job's not fun compared to that one.
I used to work for a station there, Z93.
Z93. Oh, yeah. I remember Z93. Yeah. I grew up with Z93.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did the morning show at Z93 for, I don't know, till he fired me. So
Randy is no longer allowed to do radio in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. There are many, many cities.
Or Cleveland, or San Diego.
Cincinnati. Yeah. It's a long list.
But the military likes you.
Yeah. Well, so far, we'll see. Alvin, listen, thank you so much for the time, man. This is a great exhibition. I got to get down there to see the Woodruff Arts Center, wouldn't it? I mean,
gentlemen, y'all let me and the Home Depot know when you're coming. We'll be glad to host you at the exhibition or anywhere else that we can take you and not get in trouble with you.
Yes. Not many places on that list, but...
Alvin don't know us.
Alvin, listen, you have a great holiday, man. Thank you so much.
All right, gentlemen, y'all too. Be good.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The National Defense is made possible by ADT Security. For over 150 years, your first line of defense.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Buck Kern is just a great guy. I got to tell you, Buck Kern is a guy that we've talked to several times on the program. He's the executive director of a wonderful thing called the Snowball Express. Buck, how you doing?
I'm great today.
You know, I used to tell
Thanks
people
for
about
having me on.
Absolutely. I used to mention Snowball Express to a lot of people, and they would say, "What's that?" And you'd tell them, and you know, anymore you say Snowball Express and people know about this deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it used to be that you say Snowball Express and people of a certain age group would automatically think of an old movie in the
right.
70s with Dean Jones.
Yeah.
In it, and not an organization that takes care of children of fallen military heroes.
You guys do such a great job. You just got another 4-star rating on Charity Navigator. I know that's especially important this week because we just had Giving Tuesday. And yeah, a lot of people look around on Giving Tuesday and they say, how can we tell? You know, you go to Charity Navigator and you can find out which are the real deals, right?
Right. Yeah, and it's great that we're very proud of our 4-star rating, third consecutive year, and it's great that people study up and make sure that their money goes to charities that are doing great work the right way and direct the money to where it really needs to go, which is to like in our case, it goes to the to our program and making sure that we take care of our kids.
Yeah, and a big event is coming up here in just a couple of weeks for the kids. What date is that? Is that the 9th?
The 9th. So December the 9th.
Yeah.
You know, and folks ask, you know, we host an annual gathering. During the year, we work with kids and families around the country in the communities where they live, and we connect and reconnect these families during the year, and then
these are all kids that have lost a mom and dad in combat, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Since 9/11.
Wow.
So we have a lot of Iraq, Afghanistan deaths, but we also take care of kids who are who lost a parent on active duty as a result of suicide, which is a huge issue and problem now.
Yes, absolutely.
Manner of death doesn't dictate whether a family can be part of our Snowball Express family. For the kids, they all just don't have a dad or in some cases a mom. And we want to take care of them and inspire them. Our organization is a little unique in that we bring together and host the largest gathering of children and families of fallen in the world every December.
Yeah. What are you up to, Buck? How many kids?
This year we will have close to 1,200 children.
Wow.
And then they have to come with a parent. So we have a lot of moms. We have a few surviving dads. But we'll have close to 1,800 family members we'll get to meet each other on December the 9th. And it's, you know, I always explain it as that we're not a grief camp. We don't have kids sit around in a circle and express their feelings, but that is exactly what happens when they get together. And it happens in a very comfortable setting because all of these kids know that all of these other kids they are with are just like them.
Right.
They understand exactly what they're going through, and because of that, they open up and they talk. And you know, every year
that is
after
so important.
The gathering, it is. You know, it's important for kids to be kids.
Right.
And it's you know when a child's dad or mom is killed, they sort of take on a different role in the family, and a lot of them shut down.
Sure.
So kids will know that it's, you know, they're sad and they know that their mom is grieving and they want to support that, and they end up, they feel guilty if they have a good time, so mm-hmm. they just kind of shut down. But the great thing is that when you get this many kids together, it's impossible for them not to have a great time and just be kids again and to laugh and smile. And
especially what you
want to see.
Yeah, and especially what you guys have them do and allow them to do. I mean, talk about some of the events. Well, first of all, American Airlines flies them in, and the only place that you could host this many kids and this many families is Texas. That's the only place big enough.
And it's the center of the country. So whether they're coming from the East Coast or the West Coast, it's about the same amount of time to get here.
Right.
But, you know, I always, folks say, where do you gather? And I say, well, it starts in airports around the country every year. So American Airlines is our presenting sponsor. We can do what we do because of their support, because our families live everywhere and we have to fly them to get them together. And so this year, American Airlines will donate about 12 chartered airplanes, which gives us the ability to hop around the country from airport to airport and fill these airplanes up with kids and their surviving parents and bring them together. So the airplane ride is actually part of the bonding process.
Oh, I'll bet.
Because it is unlike any airplane ride that these families have been on or will be on probably again, because it's all about them having fun. The pilots, the flight attendants dress up. They decorate the airplanes, and it is about allowing these kids to understand that they should have fun, and it's okay to have fun.
It's okay to have fun, sure.
Yep.
And then they get to Texas, and then what happens?
We fill their time from beginning to end, again, with lots of fun, but we also we mix serious moments in with the fun. So we want these families to understand that they're not forgotten and that this community and this country hasn't forgotten them and also remembers and will never forget the ultimate sacrifice of their hero.
By the way, Buck, let me just mention quickly, you guys do a great job of that on your website at snowballexpress.org of paying tribute to those that have fallen.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, we want, you know, every family wants to know that their hero is remembered mm-hmm. and that their sacrifice is never going to be forgotten.
Yeah.
So we will, for example, we will bring them together here. Something as simple as a bus ride when we go from. So this year we're going to go from Dallas, where we are staying, at a hotel in Dallas, and we're going to take a convoy of buses to Fort Worth, to the Stockyards, for our annual Walk of Gratitude and ceremonial balloon release for our families.
Oh, yeah.
And so even the bus ride, the police department and Patriot Guard escort the buses down the freeway for about 30 miles, and they shut the freeway down.
Wow.
So the families get a presidential escort.
Wow.
And the overpasses are filled with, like, fire departments come out along the route, and they will be on the overpasses with fire trucks, big American flags, and you will see firemen standing at attention, saluting or waving to the families as the buses drive underneath the overpasses. So cars stopped that are stopped on the on-ramp. Folks will get out of their cars and wave to the families, because now they know what's going on now.
Right.
And so those sort of, that public showing of support has a huge impact on the families.
Oh, you know, I'm just imagining, you know, a kid that might not have known exactly how special their mom and dad was, sees this display and says, "Wow, my dad was that important." I mean, that's huge.
It's huge. Yep. And, you know, so those sort of things have meaning. The walk of gratitude, the public, when we arrive, we have the public lines the streets. And they'll bring homemade signs letting these families know that they're not forgotten.
Hey, Buck.
So all of those sort of things.
I want to ask you, too. So this goes on a few days. We're talking to Buck Kern, the executive director of the Snowball Express. And obviously, I mean, if people want to find out exactly, specifically what you guys are doing during that, snowballexpress.org is the place to go. But I want to ask you about Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Walsh, you know, not the first guy you would think would raise money for veterans, but he put on this big concert for vets that he wants to do every year. And part of the proceeds went to the Snowball Express, right?
Right. Yes. And, you know, Joe's dad was an Army Air Force pilot in World War II. And he was killed after the war in 1949 in a training accident. And his plane crashed and he was killed. But Joe, you know, we got connected to Joe, I think, about over a year ago. And Joe had asked if he could host some of our families at his concerts. And so he invited families out, and he recognized them during the concert. And then he met with the families individually before the concert backstage.
Oh, that's cool.
And talked to them one-on-one. And really got a sense from Joe that, you know, the special meaning that it had to be able to really just talk to the kids and the families and let them know that people cared about them. And so he's taken on a mission of really helping support military nonprofits and families of fallen. And he's actually going to be attending this year.
That's cool. That's great.
Yeah, he actually asked if he could come out and speak with the families. So he's going to be with us on opening night and get a chance to say hello to everybody and kind of help kick their time off together here in Dallas.
Is he doing a little bit of down, 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 down,
down? Yeah, I'm sure there will be some guitar riffs happening. But he's...
What makes me happy is the fact that he's recognized the value of Snowball Express and what you guys do.
Yeah.
And
we're just blessed. We have, you know, Gary Sinise is with us since 2007 and is with us every single year and brings his band. And
that's cool.
He does the last concert of the year with the Lieutenant Dan band is for our families. So.
Wow.
We're blessed to have really, really nice people who love these families and want to do what they can to, you know, brighten their spirits and help kick their holiday season off the right way and make them feel good.
Well, Buck, I appreciate what you do and the work that you guys put into this, because I know all the volunteers and everybody that participates works very, very hard. I did want to ask you, though, before we wrap up, because we've talked about this before, because you have kids that come back every single year. What is the oldest kid at this year's event? Would you happen to know?
18. We'll have 5 to 18-year-olds. Hmm. And then each year we actually we have sort of a graduation of those that are aging out. And we recognize them. And then we're actually working on a program to continue with them, but in a different role. So, so the idea is that who better to work with these young kids than a grown-up Snowball kid who has lost their parent, who is now an adult. So the program will be that they want to come back and volunteer and help work with these kids. So
you gotta...
they all... are great. They want to continue public service and help kids who are going through the same thing they went through.
Well, you got to keep us posted on that. That sounds fascinating. And, you know, you set these kids up for life. I mean, that's basically what you're doing here. And, Buck, thank you so much for the time today.
It's
always
a what we do.
Great time to talk to you. You guys do such a great job at the Snowball Express. And again, if you want to find out more information, you want to donate, four stars from Charity Navigator, you got to be doing the right thing to get that. SnowballExpress.org.
Yep.
Thank you, Buck. Get some sleep.
Thank you. Well, I will try. I'd like to invite folks to go to our website, and if you want to really see and experience a little bit of what happens during the annual event, scroll down the home page, and you'll see a video with the picture of a girl holding a balloon.
Yes.
And if you click on that video, that will give everyone a real good overview of what this is about and why it's important.
Cool. Thank you, Buck. Hey, have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Have a great event.
You too.
SnowballExpress.org. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller, and very excited to talk to Manny Parra. Manny is a native of San Diego. He's a former Green Beret and left the military in 2010 as a staff sergeant. Manny, so glad to have you on the program.
Randy, thanks for having me. Excited to be on here.
You're doing some great work here that we're going to get into, but before we do that, were you one of those kids that always thought about the Green Berets? I mean, how did you... It's such an exciting an organization to be a part of. Did you grow up kind of with that in your head, or how did you come to be a Green Beret?
You know, I come from a family of military. My grandfather was in the Army. My father, was in the Marines. And then my sister and I were only about a year and a half apart. So she graduated high school before me. And she was in the Air Force, so it kind of was that natural path, especially after 9/11, the sense of duty, and again, having a family history of it, it seemed like the natural progression for me. I didn't want to go to college immediately. I wanted to do something important that mattered first.
But what was it about the Green Beret, especially, that you wanted to be a part of?
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I mean, it's the mission in itself, right? It's more than just the direct action component of it, which a lot of people aren't really aware of, right? And the
Green
Berets, have a sense of humanitarian sustainability element to it, right? And then obviously, it's being part of an elite unit, right? If I'm going to do something,
right?
I have that ability. Like, I'm just going to try the hardest thing, right? That I have a natural inclination to just go towards tougher, right? That's just me.
Man, well, I can't imagine a tougher group than the Green Berets. But you come out of the military as a staff sergeant, and then again you go toward the toughest thing, because it would have been easy for you just to maybe get a regular job, settle down, do what you do. But you start this foundation program, the Next Ridgeline. Mm-hmm. That provides current and former U.S. Army Green Berets who are transitioning the tools and resources they need to be successful. Tell me about your transition, Manny. Was it tough?
Yeah, I mean, Next Ridgeline is like awesome, and happy to dive into that further. And just even back into that, like you said, the transition itself was difficult. I think any service member transitioning faces challenges, right? It's not as easy as going from point A to point B, right? When you have a infrastructure, when you're used to an infrastructure, and then coming out and having to navigate that space alone. I mean, even in 2010, it was it's probably antithetical to what it is today. There's a lot more support, I would say, but at the time, there was obviously less, right? So, but using that, the same framework as being a Special Forces Green Beret. When you go into a foreign territory, you have to understand, I need to build out a network, right? I need to identify key influencers, right? What are my support channels, right? So it's all about being resourceful So the same ideology and what we've been taught as Green Berets, I was able to implement in the civilian world by developing, you know, hey, I'm going to understand my environment and how can I best leverage that while still, you know, giving back.
Sure. Hey, Manny, we got to wrap things up here in the program, but for the rest of the interview, Manny's got a lot of stuff to say and a lot of great information. Just go to thenationaldefense.com and you can hear the rest of the interview with Manny Parra and the Green Beret Foundation. Thenationaldefense.com. And we will see you back here next week with a brand new edition of The National Defense.